Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know this one, Hugh.
That sounds like Taylor Swift.
About that. Look at that. That was easy. Yeah, this is one. No, this is what we all know.
12:30.
Yeah, well, you knew that. Yeah, it is 12:30 on a Tuesday. Welcome back. Midday show.
Way to lock in.
Yep, we're all locked
every
in.
Every now and then, Kyle. Every now and then.
Today's show sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings in seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. Joining us right now, he does every Tuesday, Ross Tucker. You can check him out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, for the Daily Eagles Report. How you doing, Ross?
Ross! I am fantastic, fellas. Pumped up for the huge game Thursday night. I'll actually be there. I'm calling it with Ian Eagle for national radio, Westwood One, right near Merrill and Mike. So my first time at the link this year. I'm like, and who would have thought before the season that it'd be this juicy of a matchup, this big of a game? I love it.
Well, it's incredible, Ross. And there's so much on the line. Obviously, the division lead. But also, Ross, you start thinking ahead here. And let's start with the Eagles and now their ceiling. Because, Ross, they win this game. You know, we're talking about the two seed or the one seed. It's not just a division now. Now it feels like with the way they've played and you look at the rest of the NFC, Ross, it feels like that Super Bowl conversation is starting to get heavy.
Well, and it should be. I mean, if you think about it, first of all, their defense has been clearly the best defense in the NFL since the bye week. They have been dominant on that side of the ball, like ridiculously dominant. And then offensively, guys, is there a team in the NFL who you would say you'd rather have their offensive players than the Eagles? You'd rather have their offensive starters than the Eagles? I don't see it. I mean, unless you're heavily, heavily weighting the quarterback position and you just think Mahomes or whoever or Lamar Jackson is that much better than Jalen Hurts, I would submit to you that I think pretty much every team in the NFL, especially if you exclude the quarterback position, would rather have the Eagles players on offense than their own.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. As you said it, Ross, the only one that came to my mind was Detroit, but you have to combine the two backs into one to have what we have with Saquon, right? What they have with Montgomery and Gibbs. But they're the only one I could think of. Maybe I would say last year San Francisco, but they're not what they were, right? Because there's no Brandon Ayuk. I can't think anyone in the AFC, Ross. It feels like Detroit and Philadelphia are the two that stand out the most.
Yes, you're right. And the Eagles' offensive line is significantly better than the Niners' offensive line. So that's a big... Now, listen, the Lions' O-line is really good, and they have good receivers as well, but I think they'd probably rather have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown than who they have, especially number two with Jamison Williams in and out. Mm-hmm. LaPorta and Goddard might be a wash. Maybe with the two-headed monster at running back, that might be a wash. Then I guess it comes down to Hurts versus Goff. Goff was on an unbelievable run until he threw five picks on Sunday night. He does not give you the running element that Hurts does. But and then clearly on defense, the Eagles are better than the Lions. So it's not hyperbole to say I think you can make a very compelling argument that the Eagles have the best roster in the NFL again. Now, I don't think it's as good as it was a couple years ago in 22. But it still might be the best thing. Like 1-53, the depth on the O-line, the guys, the way they're playing on defense now with Bond, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell. I think the Birds have a beautiful roster. They really do.
What do you think about Zach Bond and how he's been playing? Because, Ross, it kind of blows my mind to know that this guy was on special teams in New Orleans last year, and he's come in for us, and he's played that linebacker spot, and he's been phenomenal at that position. What do you see?
Hugh, I'm so glad you teed me up on this because it's even crazier than that and crazier than people realize. So you guys know when I do the preseason games, I get a chance to meet with the coaches. And I said to Fangio in the production meeting, I said, how did you know Bond could play off the ball backer? Or why did you think Bond could play off the ball backer? Because for the Saints, he was a Sam that was primarily on the ball, and he actually had some success last year rushing the passer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people thought he got a sack against Penei Sewell last year from the Lions. And what what Fangio told me was mind-boggling. So he's an on-the-ball Sam backer. But there were times, Hugh, when the other team would trade the tight end or would motion. So people don't know, like, on-the-ball backer is going to be on the ball, usually where the tight end is, the Sam. Well, they move the tight end to the other side. So rather than having him run all the way to the other side, the Saints just, you know, balanced it out. And so he moved to an off-the-ball inside backer. There was only like a handful of snaps of him doing that. But Fangio watched him, thought he did a pretty good job in like the handful of off-the-ball inside backer snaps he had. That when they signed him, they said they wanted him to try to be an off-the-ball inside backer for the Eagles. Lo and behold, in year five, out of nowhere, now the guy's one of the best off-the-ball inside backers in the NFL. I've almost never heard of this in my life. The guy never really played the position before.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is an incredible story. I mean, it almost took a couple teams shifting on a play, and all of a sudden Vic Fangio saw something. So, Ross, on that, because, you know, as you were talking about the defense and how good they've been, I was getting excited because you could kind of play this out. In 2022, they were really good, but there were a lot of older players and more mercenary guys, right? You could realize 2 years from now, most of those guys aren't going to be here, and then it turned out to be like 1 year from now, they weren't here. This group could be together for longer with some of the guys they just drafted. But let's talk about Zach Bond. He's on a one-year deal. You know, we've seen in the past Howie Roseman's done some of these in-season extensions. If you were Howie, would you look to pay him? And let's go, for the sake of the argument, Ross, let's say his agent wants, you know, a salary, you know, up there with some of the better, maybe not top, but like a real legitimate linebacker salary. Have you seen enough? You would pay him if they could come to an agreement now.
Yeah, so, but the number matters, okay? So I would not let him leave. I would give him the TJ Edwards contract yesterday, okay? I don't know if I'd give him the Tremaine Edmonds contract, if that makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, TJ Edwards got, you know, respectable starting linebacker money. I'm okay with that. I would give that to him immediately. Now, I don't know if I'm willing to pay him like Fred Warner, Roquan Smith, guys that have done it year in and year out at the top of the market. That I would not do. The thing I always wonder in situations like this, right? I hope they pay him. I'd like to see them do it soon because I think the price will only get up, will only go up. But what I always wonder, guys, is there part of the Eagles that's like, well, we found him and Vic helped us find him last year. Maybe we can just find the next Zach Bond next year. I think that that happens sometimes when they've had like Bradham or TJ Edwards or Kaiser White. They start to think that they can find that guy the next year again, and then they don't, and then they have a problem.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, it's like you play roulette every year. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't.
Right,
like,
right.
Last year they didn't hit, right? We had Shaq Leonard and we had, you know, they was a mess at linebacker last year. This year has been totally different. Ross Tucker with us as we discuss the Eagles. All right, Ross, let's look ahead to Thursday night, the matchup that we've all been kind of circling for about 6 or 7 weeks since we realized the Commanders were a good team. Ross, where do you think the advantages are, a disadvantage? Like, take us inside this game Thursday. Where do you think the Eagles can attack either side? Like, if you think there's a weakness in the Commanders, what is it, and how do the Eagles exploit it?
Well, so what's really interesting about the Commanders is their offensive line has played much better than I thought they would. I mean, if you look, right, both tackles are more or less journeymen and or guys that are thought to be average at best. The same with the left guard, Allegretti. I mean, their left guard and their right tackle were both guys that the Chiefs let go because they wanted better players, right? They liked their right guard, Cosme. Biadasz, the Cowboys didn't think he was worth keeping. They thought he was average at best. And then Cornelius Lucas has been everywhere. So this is a game. Now, those guys, in fairness to them, as a unit, which is what matters, they've played very effective football this year. But you're really talking about One guy might be considered above average in Cosme. The other four are considered average at best. They're just playing together better as a unit. This is when, you know, Hughes guys have to eat. This is when Jalen Carter has to get after it. All of those guys, they've been better in recent weeks, but the reason why this roster isn't as good as 22 and they're not as good of a team as 22, they're not straight up killing people like that those guys were. I mean, those guys with Hargrave and Fletch and BG had a career year and Reddick, they were murdering teams week in and week out. This Eagles D-line has not gotten there yet. What they are is it feels like they're better at nickel. They're as good maybe at linebacker. They're maybe as good, if not better, in the secondary. But they need the D-line to be more dominant than they've been. It should start Thursday night game, home game. These guys got a bunch of rest because they didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. They need to take advantage of what I would say is an average offensive line. And then on the other side, their defense is just okay. I mean, give Dan Quinn a bunch of credit. If you looked, the truth is there aren't very many Commanders that would start for the Eagles. I mean, go through it, and it's almost scary when you go through how many guys for the Commanders would even start for the Eagles. Guys, it's not that many. It really isn't, but they've played very well. They have a rookie quarterback who's played fantastic. They're coaching with Kingsbury as the OC, and Dan Quinn has been excellent. The Eagles have the better team. They have the better roster. They should be able to take care of business against this team.
Great stuff. Ross, let's end with this. Because we get a Thursday game, we'll get a chance to watch the NFL at large on Sunday. That includes a big one in Buffalo. Kansas City, still undefeated off the magical punt, the field goal block on Sunday. They go to Buffalo. Ross, two-parter. One, who do you think wins that game? And if the Chiefs win, how long does this continue? Because, Ross, it feels to me like it's about to become the biggest story in the league if they get through this week. They get the Panthers next. They get the Raiders after that. We could have an undefeated team going into December here.
Joe, I'm just telling you right now, the Bills are going to win this game.
Mm.
And then the Chiefs are going to beat them when they rematch in the playoffs, because that's what happens every year.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Somehow the Bills win the regular season game, and the Chiefs kind of laugh and shrug. And then the Chiefs beat them when they play in the playoffs. If I'm a Bills fan, I know they don't think of it this way. I know they won't look at it this way, but I would. If the Bills lose, I'd think, oh, thank goodness. Now maybe we have a chance to beat them in the playoffs for once. Because it's very unlikely you're going to beat them twice. Which one would you rather win? I mean, even if the Bills win, the Chiefs still have the edge for the number one seed right now. I think it'll be an awesome game. I cannot believe the tight end, who's an offensive lineman for the Broncos, got just totally destroyed like that and cost the Broncos that win. It's crazy how many different ways the Chiefs have found a way to win. Yes, it's still a possibility, Joe, and we'll have to talk about it, but there is the Vegas odds on them going 20-0 and winning the first ever third straight Super Bowl, to do both those the same year, that would be the biggest accomplishment in the history of the sport of football. I highly doubt they'll do both of those in the same season.
Great stuff, Ross. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game Thursday, and we'll say hi and see you there. Thank you, Ross.
Have a good one.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes, Ross Tucker. Yeah, I mean, the way he frames it, Hugh, it reminds me of the old Patriots and Colts, right? Mm-hmm. When the Colts would beat them once in a while in the regular season, but not in the playoffs.
Not when it matters.
Yeah.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.